Hey friends, welcome to another episode of Voices of Hope. This week on the podcast, we have Rob Hazelhurst. He's going to talk about his decision to let go of some things in his life that was taking up his attention and clouding his mind, and picking up some practices that helped him kind of think more clearly and live more intentionally with those around him. Also, this is kind of the first of the rest of our podcast. We're going to try and shorten it down to 20 to 25 minutes per interview so that you can all keep up rather than getting behind and seeing that this podcast is like an hour long and so you don't want to listen to it. So we're going to try and hit that 20 to 25 minute mark for you to hear some of the great stories of people's lives and faith. So enjoy this conversation. Well, Rob, thanks for coming on the podcast. I know that you were kind of, it was forced upon you a little bit by...
I was ambushed.
By Joy and EJ. They recommended you when I recorded their podcast. Joy is like, I told Rob I was going to tell you that you should interview him. He probably won't be happy about it, but you have an interesting story, an interesting... decision you made in 2017,
yeah,
right?
2017.
About what you were going to do. You made a lifestyle change.
And several. Yeah.
Several of them.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Okay. First of all, I was finding that life is just filled with distractions. And I was finding myself feeling very scattered at times and stressed at times and things like that. And I was kind of reflecting on our society in general where, you know, busy is a badge of honor. People often are just running around busy.
You're not important unless you're busy.
Right. Yeah, that's right. You got to be busy. And so I started to question whether that's the way I wanted to lead my life, and had heard just lots of people talking about different ideas of, you know, gratitude and various things that help foster happiness. Mm-hmm. And so I started to kind of look into that, and I decided in 2017, by the way, I heard an interview with a guy named A.J. Jacobs. And A.J. Jacobs has written several books about experiments that he's conducted in his life. I haven't read, quite honestly, full disclosure, I haven't read all of his books. But in this interview, he talked about one of the books he wrote called A Year of Living Biblically. And apparently he tried to live for a year following every law in the Bible.
Does that have on the cover? Is it he's in like old, is he in the middle of Times Square with all the old stuff on?
I think so. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so, and one of the stories, by the way, I love from that, Year of Living Biblically was, one of the things was if a woman is, at that time of the month for a woman, she
right.
was considered unclean. And
she
so
had to go out into the woods.
Or if she sat on something, then a man who was clean could not sit mm-hmm. in that same spot. And so he told this to his wife during this time he's doing this experiment. And so during that time of the month, she went and sat on every piece of furniture they had in the house so that he couldn't sit for a month. So anyway, I thought that was funny, But the point of the story is that he was conducting these kind of experiments and just treating life like an experiment. And I thought, you know, that's kind of an interesting way to approach life. You if you approach it from a series of experiments and you try them, and if they work, great. You incorporate them into your life. If they don't work, that's fine too. You just say, okay, I'm going to move on, and mm-hmm. giving yourself the right to walk away from an experiment if it's not working out and all that. So I thought, okay, I kind of like that idea of,
well, I think
living life is an experiment.
I think that in itself is kind of a spiritual practice.
Yeah.
Of trying new things, exploring, opening yourself up to, you know, what could work for you and what couldn't. And
right.
But yeah. Carry on.
Yeah. So no, I agree. And so, so I thought, you know, hey, maybe I'll try that. And there were just a number of things I decided to try and to see how it would work out. And so, the first thing I thought I'd do is kind of get away from distractions. There's so many distractions, things competing for our attention nowadays. And I see it in my classroom every day when I see phone addiction mm-hmm. and students who absolutely just cannot put their phones down. And it's truly, I believe it is an addiction. Mm-hmm. They've got to get that fix.
Yep.
And anyway, a few things. And I find myself, by the way, falling into that as well. And so I thought, okay, I'm going to do at least a few things. And one of them was I decided to step away from Facebook. I'd been on Facebook. I'd been a very active participant in Facebook. But I also found there was kind of an element of Facebook too, where people tend to, of course, be posting their best of the best. Everything about their lives, that's good, they're going to post. Nobody posts stuff that's bad, although there are some people that do, and sometimes you wish they wouldn't. But anyway, but nevertheless, there were a lot of people posting, things on Facebook, and then you find yourself comparing and kind of, always looking at that. Oh, wow, they got to go on that really nice cruise, or they got to do this, or they got to do that, and forgetting all that we do have ourselves and all the wonderful things that are going on in our lives. And instead, feeling this comparison to others. And so I thought, I'm just going to leave Facebook. So that was one of the things I did, and kind of an experiment. I wanted to see, was I going to have withdrawals, and, was I going to be totally detached? And
it was a good year to leave Facebook with
how much of my information's out there, I don't know. But anyway, so, other than missing some photos, obviously, you have relatives who post photos. I have a son in college who post some photos and things like that. And obviously I miss out on some of that, but for the most part, I really don't miss it. So that was one change that I made. I've decided, I'm okay with this one. I've left that in place. Another thing, I used to record the news at night, and then come home and watch it over dinner or whatever. I just sort of found, that was always showing the worst of humanity. So I thought, I'm going to step away from the news. And I figure if something, number one, most of that information is not actionable for me. Mm-hmm. It's just information. It's not something I'm really going to do a whole lot with.
And it's raising your anxiety because you're like, well, this shouldn't be happening.
It's raising anxiety.
You can't do anything about it.
Yeah. It's sort of like the only reason I'm watching is morbid curiosity. It's like, there's not a good reason to be watching. So anyway, I thought if something important happens in the world, I'm going to hear about it. Whether it's word of mouth, people are going to be talking about it. Some channel I'm going to hear about things that are important. But there's so much other stuff going on that the news is reporting that is just depressing. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, I'm just going to turn that off. I'm not going to record the news at night. I'm not going to have a news feed on my phone anymore. And so I got rid of that. So that was another big change I made. And then the other distraction was email alerts. One thing I had on my phone was every time a new email would come in, I would have a little number would pop up there at the top of the screen saying, you've got 3 new emails and whatever. And it became a very reactionary, distraction, interrupt, I guess an interrupt kind of approach to email management, as opposed to what I do now, which is, I have to physically go out to the icon, my mail icon, and say, I want to look at my mail. And I click on that mail icon. And when I do, it's usually at a time that I have time to actually process those emails and think through them and respond to them and all that. So I've gone from this kind of interrupt-based approach to more of a batch processing approach.
I love that. Love it. That's something I noticed, I think, in the last year or so, that I don't have it like show up on the screen, some people, like a text message. I just have it vibrate when I get an email and the number. And so when it vibrates, sometimes I just pull it out and I look at it, but then I don't respond to it.
Right.
I put it away. I'm like, I'll respond to it later, but then it's already read, so it's not in there new. And rather than like, how they talk about like a text message gives you kind of that dopamine little fix of like, oh, absolutely. Somebody wants to talk to me. I think email does the opposite for me. I'm like, oh, God, another email. And I look, and I'm like, disruption.
Right.
I get that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So I turn that off. And so now I have to, at a certain time of day, and I haven't established necessarily maybe quite the routine, but I do remember to check my email at least once or twice a day. And so I do that, as opposed to continuously checking my email because I was getting those alerts. So the distractions were, first thing I worked on. And so I unplugged those things. And so far that seems to be working for me. I haven't had any, desire to go back and change, jump back on Facebook or do any of those kinds of things. And then the second thing I did was I kind of established a morning routine. So I really didn't have a morning routine until last year. And so I made a point of, first of all, getting up at 5 a.m. So I would force myself to get up at 5, come downstairs, flick on the coffee pot, and then head to our living room and meditate. And I typically do about 30 minutes of meditation. Mm-hmm. I do a breath-based meditation where the idea is to learn to focus your mind on one thing. And in this case, the method I use is you're focusing on your breath. And kind of an analogy I heard was, it's kind of like being in a coffee shop and you're talking to a friend in the coffee shop, and there can be lots of other things happening around you. People can be talking, there could be people brewing coffee and dish, you know, someone might drop a dish on the floor. All those things are going to be vying for your attention, and you may find your attention drifting to those things. But, mm-hmm. you know, how well can you hold your attention on that conversation with your friend? And how well can you, you know, kind of keep that going? And so that was kind of the analogy of how do you keep your mind focused on something while maintaining awareness of all the other things that are going on, but not allowing those other things going on to draw you in. And it even goes as far as even allowing your thoughts that are kind of bouncing around in your head to draw you in, but allowing them to be released and just kind of let go of those and maintain that focus on the breath. And I find that's very calming, very relaxing. You know, it can be a spiritual practice as well. And I'm kind of working toward that. I haven't quite, you know, figured it all out yet.
Yeah.
But I do find that time to just be very, very relaxing. So much so that I'm almost 400 days straight without missing a session. So,
wow.
Yeah, so it's been a really fun practice. That and then in parallel, or not parallel, but right after that, when I finish meditation, I usually go get my cup of coffee and then I sit down and I journal. And I found a journal that's called the 5-Minute Journal. Mm-hmm. And the idea is that it's a morning and night activity. I'm not very good at the nighttime activity, so I tend to find I'm making up for last night first in the morning and then doing the next day's morning journaling. But the idea is 2.5 minutes in the morning, 2.5 minutes at night. And in the morning, you are putting down, first of all, things you're grateful for. Three things. So what are three things you're grateful for? And then the second thing is to write down, what are three things you're looking forward to that day? So what's ahead of you that day? And then the third thing is to basically write down an affirmation. And that affirmation could be, you know, it could be something like, you know, I'm a good person. But it can also be not only an affirmation, but an aspiration. It can be something that maybe you're working on. You're not there yet, but it's what you would like to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you can do that. And by the way, this 5-Minute Journal is available for purchase. I mean, you can find it in bookstores and whatever. And in the beginning of the book, they explain the rationale behind each of these activities. So, you know, you can get more information on that. Anyway, at the end of the day, then there's two things you do. One is you write down three amazing things that happened that day. And then the last thing you do is you write down one thing I could have done better, or, you know, improve, would have made for a better day if I had done such and such. And it's just kind of a neat way to start your day and a neat way to close out your day. And I find that gratitude focus makes me realize all the blessings that, you know, I have in my life. And, you know, sometimes the list could go way beyond just three, and often does. But anyway, so I find that gratitude journaling practice and then thinking ahead, you know, what am I looking forward to, really puts a positive spin on my day. So no matter what happens the rest of the day, at least I had a good start, you know, and so that's one thing. And then the last thing I do as part of my morning routine is, and this came from an interview I heard with Jamie Foxx, the actor. And in this interview, he was asked what his morning routine was. And he says, well, when I wake up in the morning, I grab my phone and I text the people I dig. And I thought, wow, that is really kind of cool. You know,
yeah.
It's kind of neat that the first thing he does is he starts just letting people know that people he cares about, people that are special to him, people that are important to him, he lets them know how he feels about them.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, wow, that's powerful. So I do that as well. Mm-hmm. I usually, you know, shoot out 3 or 4 text messages to, you know, special people in my life, and just a real short one. Just, you know, hey, happy Monday. Hope your day's going great. You know, thinking of you, wishing you well. Or if there's something I know going on in their life, you know, I can, you know, communicate that as well.
Yeah.
And that kind of makes up for also leaving Facebook. Because of course, you leave Facebook, you lose some of those social connections.
Yeah.
So it kind of maintains some of those social connections that you, you know, may have maintained on Facebook. And especially with, you know, people that are distant, you don't see very often. So it kind of makes up for that. But so those were, that's kind of my 2017 kind of experiment, was to, number one, get rid of those distractions. And then number two, to try to set up that kind of morning routine. And it really has framed my day. The meditation practice also, one of the key things is, you know, what do you do with that throughout the rest of the day? It's great that you do it in the morning for 30 minutes, but how does that affect the rest of your day? And one thing I saw was between that and the gratitude, as I would go into situations at school, and I would run across situations with students and and situations with colleagues and things like that, I just found that I was a lot more mindful, a lot more present, a lot more focused on what it was they were saying and what it was the issues were. I also found I was kinder and more compassionate than I tended to be in the past. So I found it kind of helped me in those areas to just, you know, kind of improve in that regard. And, you know, so.
Yeah, that's, well, I was just going to ask you, if, in what ways have these practices changed your life in the last year? But I think, anything like meditation, the more you practice it, the more it does affect your life every day. A lot of people kind of get into this box thinking about meditation, that it's just for that moment. No, it's affecting you throughout the day. I don't do meditation, but since December, I've picked up yoga, and I tried to, I'm not good at doing it every day. Probably every other day I do it for 10 minutes in the morning. But what that has shown me, I first did it because I started having these lower back issues, which I've never had in my life. So I was like, so I thought to myself, how do people live with this? But it was helping with that. But what it also does is it starts to keep, it makes me mindful of my body throughout the day. And how I'm treating it, how standing, sitting, like the way I contort it and stuff like that. Like I'm more mindful of my body itself. So I think, you know, these practices actually help you be more mindful of you and what, how you're responding. And what are some other ways that it has changed your life in the last year?
Well, I'm trying to think of other ways. I mean, it's been primarily, I find myself also when I am in those situations, kind of catching myself if my mind is starting to wander, or I'm starting to realize I'm drifting off and I'm thinking about something else and I'm not focused on the situation. One thing it has taught me is how to bring that back, how to bring back my focus to what it, whatever it is I'm working on. And that comes from the practice of, you know, you sit down on, you know, in the morning to meditate, and there's the concept of monkey mind, right, where your mind is jumping all over the place. And you know, I will tell you, when the first time I sat down to meditate, just to try to keep my focus for even 10 seconds was almost impossible. And then I got to the point, okay, I could keep it for maybe 20 seconds, and then I could keep it for a minute, and then I could give it for 5 minutes. And I will tell you, I don't make a full 30 with my mind never wandering. That still wanders. But part of the practice is that activity of bringing, recognizing when you've drifted and bringing it back to your breath. And then during the day, it helps you recognize when you are drifting and help you bring back your focus to whatever you need to focus on. So
is part of it, when you're recognizing that you've thought of something else where you drifted, do you also recognize why you're thinking about that? And the kind of,
you can, some, you know, one thing that that they teach when they talk about this style of meditation is not to judge or overanalyze the thought that you've drifted to, but just to release it and let it go and come back. So I don't tend to try to spend a lot of time thinking about why did my mind go there, because that's a whole nother thought process that's running you down another rabbit hole, right? So I try not to
spiraling.
I try not to do that, but just release it. But I found that just makes me a lot more present, a lot more in the moment. You know, I think there's a compassion element too, because it allows you to kind of release the past and things that have happened in the past and just sort of say, okay, that's behind me. That's not, you know, that I don't need to worry about that right now. And also the other thing that I used to find myself doing was sitting down and trying to meditate and creating a to-do list in the process, which is not the idea either. So so it's a challenging process, and I found, you know, having done it for a year, you know, it's I've improved, but mm-hmm. I still feel like I've got so much more to learn and so much more to do. So
how do these practices have they influenced or affected your faith in any way? How has your faith been intertwining and weaving in and out of these practices? Have you found anything surprising at moments of?
Yeah, you know, it's one thing that struck me recently in some recent sermons here at New Hope was the idea of right relationships. Russ has preached on that at least once, if not twice, and talked about
the space in between us.
And the space between us was in a recent sermon as well. But I even think there was another sermon earlier that talked about right relationships. God is a God of right relationships. That really resonated with me. And I feel like the meditation practice, the morning journaling, the gratitude journaling, the sending the text messages, all of those things are things I'm working on developing better relationships. And I think whether it's with my relationship with God, whether it's my relationship with others. And a lot of times I see my relationship with others being a reflection of my relationship with God. So I kind of don't separate those in my mind too much. But anyway, so I've been trying to focus on that. Still, you know, again, I have a lot to learn, and I'm sure a long ways to go. But that I found that to be kind of a, as I think about a God of right relationships, and I think about how do we foster that? How do we pull ourselves away from the distractions that damage our relationships, and instead move toward a greater focus on relationships?
I go back and forth. I don't know if that's like the step you took. I don't know if I'd be ready to do that yet, but maybe scaling down on some stuff. But I commend you on that. That's a good thing to try. Mm-hmm. Because it is getting a lot more. As you just saw, well, we edited it out now, but Tammy called me in the middle of this, and I have this set up so my iPad, iPhone, and MacBook all alert me that she's calling. They all lit up
simultaneously.
It's kind of like and my watch, but it, and it's just like, oh geez, now I feel guilty. So is this something that you would want to invite other people to do in their lives? That, I mean, not in a evangelical way of like, this is the new life you must live, but it is, if somebody listening to this was like, I'm really interested in following that same formula, I would love to talk to Rob about it. Is that something you're open to just kind of sharing your experience with people?
Sure. I'm happy to talk more about it. Absolutely. I'm though a person that I don't believe what I do fits
right
everybody else.
It's not one size fits all.
And you know, certainly I have my approach, and I would say it's kind of an ongoing experiment too. I mean, you know, I'm continuing to learn, continuing to grow, continuing to tweak and modify. But yeah, I would never say, you know, somebody else has to go out and do this. And I'm just hoping maybe a bit or piece of this might be interesting to someone. And and if so, great. And if not, that's fine too.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us, Rob, and talking about
thanks
this.
For having
I appreciate
me.
It.
I've enjoyed it.
All right.
Thanks.